Okay, who's ready for the Word? Word of God. Okay, great. So am I. Amen. Father, we just thank you for your presence today. I thank you for these wonderful people. Thank you that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Thank you that we can come and worship you and love one another. But right now we come to another sacred part of our service, and that's, Lord, where we hear the Word of God. And so we pray for all of us together. We're all on different stages in our journey with you. But Lord, we pray all of us will have ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord has to say to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Over the next 4 weeks, I'm preaching for the next 4 weeks straight, and looking forward to that. And so try and make it to church if you can. Don't wag church. Amen. Amen. Come along, and that's great. But I've just got a couple of scriptures I want to begin with today. And the first scripture, there they are on the screens. First scripture, Isaiah 42, verse 9. God says, "See, the former things have taken place, and old things I declare." Yeah, that's a really important word, isn't it? "And new things I declare, before they spring into being, I announce them to you." Similarly, in Isaiah 43, verse 19, God declares, and we're claiming this for ourselves today, and I will finish with these scriptures, starting and finishing with them. God says to you, "See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Don't you perceive it? I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland." And ladies and gentlemen, God's got more for you. Amen. Now, one of my favorite books in the Bible, who knows how many books there are in the Bible? There are 66, 27 in the New, 39 in the Old. And one of my favorite books in the Bible is the book of Job. Has anybody here ever read the book of Job? Lots of you. I remember many years ago, Job was one of the books that I dreaded reading. These days, I'm fascinated with it. It's a wonderful book. Job is a fascinating book. It's found in the Old Testament of the Bible. That's the first half of the Bible. And it's centered on a man called Job, J-O-B. Job lived around the same time as Abraham, which was way before the time of Jesus Christ. Everybody with me? This is how Job is introduced to us in the Bible. This is the first passage in the book of Job. It says, "There once was a man named Job who lived in the land of Uz. He was blameless, a man of complete integrity." Oh, wouldn't that be good if that could be said about us? "He feared God." That means he respected God. "And he stayed away from evil. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters. He owned 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 teams of oxen, and 500 female donkeys. He also had many servants. He was, in fact, the richest person in that entire area. And Job's sons would take turns, because they were adults, preparing feasts in their homes, and they would also invite their 3 sisters to celebrate with them. They used to like to party in clubs. Go to clubs. When this celebration ended," and there's nothing new under the sun, "when these celebrations ended, sometimes after several days, Job would purify his children. He would get up early in the morning and offer a burnt offering for each of them. For Job said to himself, 'Perhaps my children have sinned and have cursed God in their hearts.' This was Job's regular practice." So Job was a man who followed God. That's a good thing to do. He had reverence for God, and he chose to stay away from evil. That's a good thing to do. He was a man of integrity. That's a rare man these days. He was a good man, the Bible says. In fact, God later on describes him as the finest man in all the earth. Man, if you wanted a reference, you would want it from God if he called you the finest man in all the earth. Amen. Job was not a Christian like we are today. It's very important to understand that. For Jesus had not come into the world at that time. And so that's why he sacrificed animals for his own sins and for the sins of his children. And we don't need to do that today because Jesus has paid the price for our sins so we can be right with God. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
And all the animals are glad about that too. Amen. Who feels sorry for the animals in the Bible? Yeah, yeah, they get a raw deal, right? But Job still had faith in God. So even though he lived before Jesus, he still had faith in God while living in a culture that worshipped idols, a lot like Australia is today. And so God rewarded him for his faith, and God still rewards people for their faith. And Job's story is in the Bible because it helps to serve as a picture of the Christian experience for us today. And like Job, we have placed our faith in God. Amen. And God has responded by blessing us. However, he's not blessed us with sheep and camels and servants. Who's glad about that? Imagine going home and there's a camel waiting for you. No, no thing. Rather, God has made us new creations in him, and God has given us the gift of eternal life where we will go to heaven to be with Jesus. And God also provides for our needs in this life. Amen. The Bible says, all praise to God. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. We're Christians. It also says, by his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. Wow. God has provided for us, and he has made us very rich in him. It is a glorious thing to be born again. It is a glorious thing to have your sins forgiven and washed away by the blood of Jesus. It is a glorious thing to be made right with God and to know God. We are rich people. Could somebody say amen? Praise God. You know, when Jesus comes back again, if he came back today, we would go to heaven to be with Jesus. That makes us rich. So old Job was the envy of all of his friends. But one day, Satan came before God and he accused Job of only being a follower of God, only being loyal to God because God had blessed him and made him wealthy, and because God had put a wall of protection around Job that kept trouble away from him. And Satan said to God, that's the only reason why he follows you. He made him rich. He never has trouble. So God, in a remarkable act of trust in Job, we always talk about us trusting God. Who knows that sometimes God can trust us? In a remarkable act of trusting Job, you can get it if you want, just switch it off, that's okay. It could be God speaking to you, God responded to this challenge by Satan, and he allowed Satan to attack Job to show that Job was indeed a true follower of God. Isn't that weird? However, this is the thing. Old Job didn't know anything about this conversation between Satan and God. He had no idea what was about to happen to him. And then all of a sudden, the next day, disaster struck. Disaster hit Job. And Job overnight literally lost everything. All his animals were stolen. His servants were all killed, except just a couple who came to tell him about his animals being stolen. And then, this is the worst thing of all, a storm came, and a mighty wind, like a cyclone, struck the house where his adult children were getting drunk and partying, and they all died. It was terrible. And Job was just stunned. He didn't know what to say. He was in a state of shock at his loss. But even while he was stunned, and while he was trying to come to terms with what had happened, he refused to curse God and he refused to turn his back on God. What a great example for us. But then it got worse. Job was then struck with terrible boils from his head to his feet. Who's ever had boils before? I've only ever had one boil that I know of, and it was in my armpit. And I had to get lanced several times. Hallelujah. Anyway, that's another story for another day. Yeah. Yes. But he was covered in boils from his head to his feet. And we're talking about terrible boils. We're talking about boils that were oozing pus and infection. And his skin was just constantly itchy, 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 itchy. And calamine lotion hadn't been invented. And it was itchy, itchy, itchy. And so he scraped his skin and his boils, the heads off the boils, with a broken piece of pottery. That's pretty bad. That's pretty bad. And all he had left was his wife. I'm sure he was thinking, why wasn't she in that house? Amen. I don't know. And she said to him, are you still trying to maintain your integrity? Curse God and die, she said. Now you've got to remember, to be fair to her, she'd suffered great loss too. She's lost her kids. And Job replied, you talk like a foolish woman. Now this is not good marriage advice here today. Just don't say, it's in the Bible, darling. No. You talk like a foolish woman. I would never say that to my wife. And then he said this, should we accept only good things from the hand of God and never anything bad? So in all of this, the Bible says, Job said nothing wrong. He did nothing wrong. He was in terrible pain, heartache, physical pain. And then a few days later, three of Job's friends showed up. They'd heard of his tragedy, and they came to comfort and console him. But when they saw Job, they were just shocked by what they'd seen. Everything was changed. They barely could recognize him. In fact, Job speaks in the book of Job about a stench coming from his body, from the pussy boils and his breath. And you know, you don't want to get too close. And he was a mess. And his friends, they couldn't even bring themselves to speak to Job for at least a week, because he was just in so much suffering and so much agony. And then as you read through the book of Job, the rest of the book of Job, a large part of the book of Job is all about these friends, three friends, and Job discussing and really debating and arguing why such bad things had happened to Job when he was supposed to be a follower of God. Great question. Why didn't God, if God loved him, why didn't God protect him from those boils? Wasn't Job a man of integrity? This is what they were discussing. Why do bad things happen to good people anyway? And why is life so hard sometimes? Who's ever asked such questions? I have. Come on, let's not. Okay, let's not get too much detail. Amen. Praise God. And Job, from his position, he just argued that he did not deserve any trouble because he was a good guy. He knew he was. And as far as he was concerned, his logic in his mind was, as far as he was concerned, that good people deserve to live trouble-free lives. Who agrees with that? I agree with that. And of course, Job was understandably emotional. He was depressed by his loss. He was in pain. And so the more he talked, as you read through the book of Job, the more he talked, the more he started to vent his anger. And he started to become angry with the injustice of life, and as we all do from time to time. But then in the middle of his dark hour of the soul, as Job was barely hanging on to his faith, he raised his voice and defiantly decided to declare, I know that my Redeemer lives in the middle of his pain. Job's comforters, on the other hand, they weren't like that. They just decided that Job had done some secret sins. What have you done? What have you really been up to? Do people really know who you are? They thought he'd done some secret sins in his life, and he was experiencing his just desserts. And they said that. You deserve this. So what they wanted to know was that they wanted to know what he'd done wrong, so that really they could gossip about him later on. They were not very encouraging at all. And then eventually, everybody still with me? Yeah. Then eventually, I'm actually going to make a point in a minute. Eventually, God broke into Job's life. God always shows up. But this is the thing. God did not give any answers or reasons to Job for the pain that he was going through. Not at all. Didn't even go there. Instead, God spoke to Job by asking him question after question after question after question. God asked Job 77 questions that Job did not know the answer to any of them at all. And the point of these questions, you can read it for yourself, was to show Job that God is beyond him and that his ways are greater than Job's ways. And so Job needed to trust God even when his life did not make sense and when everything was going wrong. That's what it was all about. How did Job respond? He was incredible. Job humbled himself before God and he said, "I'd only heard about you before, but now I've seen you with my own eyes. I take back everything I said, and I sit in dust and ashes to show my repentance." And at that moment, God started to become bigger to him than his personal pain and loss. But God was still angry with those friends of his, the three comforters, and their accusations against Job. So he got Job to pray for their forgiveness. There's a whole story in that. But after Job had prayed for his three friends, everything turned around for Job and God restored his fortunes. The boils, praise God, disappeared. The smell went and then God prospered him. In fact, the Bible says this in Job 42, "So the Lord blessed Job in the second half of his life even more than in the beginning." Now, somebody, please listen. This is for you. This is for somebody here today. "So the Lord blessed," you can put your name in there. "So the Lord blessed David. The Lord blessed Fritz. The Lord blessed Jesse. The Lord blessed Eddie." Took me a long time to go through everybody, so I'll cut it there, okay? "So the Lord blessed Job in the second half of his life even more than the beginning." It's okay to reminisce. It's okay to talk about the good old days, but the best days are yet to come. Amen. So God gave him twice the wealth that he had before. God gave Job and his wife 7 sons and 3 daughters. And Job lived to see his great-grandchildren. He lived a long, full life, a satisfied life. Amen. A blessed life. Job finished better off at the end of his life than he did at the beginning. He finished off better at the end of the book of Job than he did at the start of the book of Job. The best is yet to come. See, the book of Job is more than a book about the injustices of life, and it is that. And it's a lot more than why do good people suffer. It's more than that kind of a book. It's actually a book that shows that God has more for our lives. I'll say it again. The book of Job is actually a book about that shows that God has more for our lives. It is a book that shows that God is the God of increase. He's a God of increase. He's a God who is doing something new in the lives of those who belong to him, even when trouble is happening. "See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it?" says the Lord. But there's 2 important questions we need to deal with. We need to ask. The first question is, does Satan talk to God about you like he did about Job? Are they having a chat right now about you? Because no one here in this building right now would like to think that tomorrow you're going to be covered in boils because of a conversation going on between God and Satan right now. Amen? So here's the question. Do they chat? It's a great question. And we'll deal with that in a month's time, that question. So I'll deal with it now. Amen. Here's the answer. Although Job had faith in God, and we have faith in God, we're different to Job in that we live in a relationship with God under a different covenant. Our covenant is based upon Jesus Christ dying for our sins and rising again from the dead. Job's covenant was based on being a good person of works. Jesus Christ is our Savior and He's also our High Priest. Remember we talked about that from the book of Hebrews? Because no one is truly good enough to save themselves from their sin. We all know that. So Jesus is the one that God the Father listens to about you. Satan accuses you before God, but Jesus constantly defends you before God. Amen. Now you can give a hand to the Lord. Amen. So the answer is this. The answer is no. There is no conversation going on between Satan and God concerning anyone like it happened in the book of Job. So we can all sigh relief. Second question. Would God ever remove His wall of protection from around you like He did with Job so that Satan can steal from you and destroy your life? What a great question. Here's the answer. The truth is, Job was not aware that he was even being protected. But when God removed the protective wall, Job became an easy target. However, don't get upset when I say this, just let me finish what I'm going to say. However, under our covenant, God has not automatically put a protective wall around us. He hasn't. You do not have the same protection against trouble like Job had at the beginning of Job. Jesus said this to us, in the world you will have trouble. Okay? So we will not live a trouble-free life. Trouble is normal for us. If you've got trouble, it means you're normal. Okay, but it gets better. What God has given us is His covenant that contains His word and His promises. God expects us to use our faith in God's word to overcome the trials and troubles and attacks of the enemy. He's also given us the armor of God, and God expects us to put on the armor so we can defeat the wicked one. Job was at a disadvantage because he did not have the Bible like us. Jesus had not come back way back then, so God had to put a wall of protection around him. But we have the sure promises of God's word. So, put on the armor of God, everybody. And put the enemy to flight in Jesus' name. Come on, come on. I just got a few more minutes. Is that all right? Say another 5 minutes, 10 minutes. Everybody okay? It's a dumb question to ask, really, because you're not going to say no, are you, really? But anyway. This is the point I really want to make. Nonetheless, Job's experience that he had is like the repetitive template of the Christian experience today. I've observed that the Christian experience often follows the same three steps throughout the life that Job experienced, throughout his life that he experienced. Step number one, we're in a good place with God and life is good. That's the beginning of Job. Often we're in a good place with God and life is good. Or maybe we just got saved and born again and life is just absolutely wonderful and you're going to win everybody to Jesus. Amen. Step number one. We like step number one. That's great. But sooner or later, step number two comes to everybody. Trouble hits. And then life becomes really difficult. And then sometimes with the difficulty, it becomes even confusing at times. And perhaps we even indulge in a bit of self-pity, and we wonder why we deserve to have this trouble. How come they're so blessed, but how come I'm going through this trouble? But hopefully in step number two, then we start to remember the promises of God's word. Then step number three comes. We get breakthrough comes to us, and we have a season of increase and growth, and we learn more about the wonder of God. This is a pattern everybody in this room experiences. Some of you today are in step one. A lot of you are in step two. That's what I'm talking about. Some of us are in step three. It rotates around. That's how life is. And if that's how your life has been, it means you're normal. All those people who said you weren't normal are wrong. You're normal. Amen. We all experience it. And God in His wisdom uses the trouble of life as a catalyst for our personal growth and strengthening. The devil is evil. He certainly means for us to experience pain and frustration, and no one enjoys the struggles and disappointments of life. But God can take those same experiences that threaten to crush you, and He somehow uses them to lead you to a place of increase and growth. And we all enjoy increase. God leads you to a place where there is more to experience in God. A place where there is more blessing. A place where there is more strength. A place where there is more grace. A place where there is more health. A place where there is more encouragement. A place where there is more love. A place where there is more hope. God's got more for you. And God can use, and He does use, trouble to remind us that the Christian life is indeed the best life. The idea behind the Christian experience, and people forget this, and this is my main point. The idea behind the Christian experience is that we've got to keep moving forward in times of trouble. You've got to keep moving forward. Don't stop when you're in the middle of trouble and feel sorry for yourself. Don't stop and camp down in trouble and make your life in step number two. You don't want step two to last any longer than it needs to. Don't camp next to disappointment. Don't waste time trying to figure out why this thing happened to you. Don't waste emotional energy trying to figure out why is life so unjust. Because you'll never figure it out. And what will happen is you'll just end up getting bogged down and it'll hold you back. And you'll stay longer in step number two than God ever intended for you. Just keep moving forward. Get up, move forward. Don't dwell on those things that sap your strength and drain you. Oh, she's such a cow. Why is she like that? Blah, 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 blah. And you think about it every day. Get over it. Stop it. Stop it. Don't dwell in the place of, woe is me. And I don't want to belittle problems at all. We all got them. But I'm saying it doesn't help. When you say, woe is me, why is all this bad stuff happening to me? Welcome to the fallen human race. Welcome to the fact that the devil is ruining this world, but thank God Jesus Christ is coming back again. So stay the course. You know, be thankful to God in step number one, step number two, and in step number three. Stay the course. Keep reminding yourself that God is faithful to you. Remind yourself of all the good things that God has done for you. You're born again. You're on your way to heaven. So what? Your life is upside down, but you still win in the end. You'll be with Jesus forever and ever. One rapture and you're out of here and you're a winner. Amen. Amen. Keep looking ahead. Look ahead. Look ahead. Breakthrough is coming. Keep moving forward. God is about to do something new. Can't you see it? The Bible says that God rewards those who diligently seek Him. Seek Him in step number one, seek Him in step number two, and keep seeking Him in step number three. See, Job did not have boils all his life. Scholars discuss how long this book went for. One scholar says it was no longer than a month. Somebody else said 9 months. But it wasn't for his entire life. He lived a long time. The boils were a terrible situation. But it was a temporary situation that gave way to a double increase in his life. In the same way, your struggles are temporary. You know, the book of Corinthians talks about this. They are temporary. Temporary struggles. They will pass and blessing will come in Jesus' name. But just keep moving. Keep moving forward. Keep seeking the Lord. Being thankful. Keep moving forward. Always keep in mind as well that there's much about life that we don't understand. Job learned that. There are cosmic battles that we're not even aware of. And life is packed with injustice, and it will continue to be that way until the return of Jesus Christ. So in view of that, stop getting worked up. Leave your questions with Jesus and just keep moving forward because God has got more for you. I've been a follower of Jesus Christ for about 50 years. Can you believe that? 50 years, half a century, I've been following Jesus Christ. Amen. And I've learned a lot of lessons. And God has once again reminded me that there's still so much more for me. There's still so much more for you. There's still so much more for us to discover in the Christian experience. And no matter your age, God has more for you. I'm not talking necessarily about fame or fortune or success. By the way, who could do with the fortune bit in the middle of it? Yeah. But that's not what life is about, is it? I'm talking about things that are real and deep. I'm talking about that there's more about knowing Jesus. There's more walking with Jesus. There's more being with Jesus. There's more enjoying being saved. Just to be enjoy being saved. Some of us have forgotten how to enjoy being saved. You've been saved for so long, you take it for granted. Don't ever take it for granted that you're saved. I'm talking about going deeper with Jesus. To go deeper and know Jesus like you've never known him before. I'm talking about these things. There's more in him. I'm also talking about a renewed purpose for our lives. New dreams that God wants to give. I'm talking about finding new ways to bring the best out of those that you love. I'm talking about finding mountains to go and conquer no matter what your age is. I'm talking about discovering the dormant gifts and abilities within that are yet to come out. I'm talking about getting more out of life. I'm talking about being joyful. I'm talking about honoring God. There is more, amen. And I know from experience that you can waste too much time on step two, that trouble part of life, wallowing in the problems of life year after year, and then miss out on the mighty things of God. And then what happens is that you end up losing your love for Jesus and your faith grows cold. And over the 50 years, I've experienced that one too many times, you know. And some of you are in that place today. You're in step number two. And it takes all your effort to say thank you to Jesus because you've got so many problems around you and they're bigger in your life than what God is in your life. And you're discouraged and you're weighed down. You're frustrated. You want to give up. And being miserable on the inside has become a way of life for you. This isn't for everybody, but I know it's for some because God laid this on my heart over a week ago. And you don't laugh anymore. You've forgotten how to laugh. Oh, you can laugh on the outside, but on the inside, you're just angry about the injustice of life. But the word of the Lord to you is this. See, the former things have taken place, and new things I declare before they spring into being, I announce them to you. This is a new day for you. This is a day of breakthrough for you. See, I'm doing a new thing, says the Lord. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. God has more for you. It's time to get out of step number two and into increasing step number three. God is already doing a new thing for you. He's making a way in that wilderness of life and he's making streams in your wasteland in Jesus' name. So if you feel like you've been spending too much time in step number two, perhaps it's time to remind yourself and also remind that old fox called the devil and say that I know my Redeemer lives. And today, be defiant against the devil. Be defiant to your own emotions and stand up and say, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. I don't want to live this Christian life in misery. I want to move on to step number three. And it begins with this confession, I know my Redeemer lives. And then you get up and you start to move forward and God will do the rest for you. There's more to this Christian life. I'll say it again. I'm sorry for myself. There's more to this Christian life. Come on, everybody. Let's stand on our feet. I know that my Redeemer lives. Can we say that together? Come on, everybody. I know that my Redeemer lives. Say it again. Come on. I know that my Redeemer lives. Father, I just thank you. We thank you together. We thank you for Jesus Christ. Once we were lost, but now we're found. We were blind, but now we see. Lord, we thank you, Lord, we're chosen. Thank you, Lord, that we're favored. Thank you, Lord, that we're blessed. But this old world can be nasty at times. This old world, Lord, is so confusing. And Lord, sometimes it grinds us down. Sometimes we have expectations that are not met, and we get hurt. We get disappointed. And then sometimes we lose sight of the promises of God's word. We lose sight of you. And like Job, Lord, he humbled himself. We just humble ourselves before you today. Why don't we do that, you know, in your heart, you know? He knows, you don't. He's God, you're not. He's given his all for you. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's faithful to his promises. He's still with you. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So, Lord, we just humble ourselves. We pray, forgive us for our stupidity. Forgive us for saying things that we shouldn't have said. Lord, we just pray today that you'll become big in our lives once again. Be bigger than the injustice of life. Be bigger than the pain of our heart. Be bigger, Lord, than the confusion that we experience. We pray, be big in our lives. Lord, I just pray for my brothers and sisters today. I just know that you're speaking to people. I know you're touching hearts right now. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you put your finger upon people today, because, Lord, it's time for an increase in their lives. And Lord, I just pray for us all together, no matter our age, whether we're young, old, or no matter our experience, we today decide, Lord, that we're going to keep moving forward. We're going to keep moving forward into the promises of God's word. And Lord, we're going to be a people who will celebrate, Lord, that there's more for us in Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name. And with every head bowed, every eye closed, I was just wondering, before we sing the final song, what your relationship is like with Almighty God. And if you were to die today and breathe your last, and people die all the time, this life is so brief, but eternity lasts forever. The question we have for you today, the most important question you'll ever be asked in your life, is where will you spend eternity? Where will you spend eternity? And today, Jesus is here. He's knocking on the door of your heart. He's reaching out to you with his saving grace and his love. Will you respond to Jesus today and humble yourself? Ask him to forgive you and put your faith in Jesus, that he paid the price for your sins and that he rose again from the dead for you, and that he will come back again for you as you put your faith in Jesus today. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're saying, yes, Pastor, that's me, I want to get right with God. This is a holy moment right now. That's you. Everybody's praying. I'm going to open my eyes because I want to pray for you. Could you give me a wave of your hand? Just put it right up. God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else? Getting right with God today. Come on. Come on. There's more than just these two guys. Come on. Down the back, over on my left, down the back. Amen. God bless you. Anybody else? Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Yeah, right down the back. God bless you. Anybody else? Yep, down the back. A couple more, huh? Yeah, I can see you. God bless you. God bless you. Those of you, just raise your hands. Lift up yet both your hands to the Lord right now. Just like you're about to receive something in Jesus' name. Come on, lift them up. And if you haven't got a Bible, by the way, you come down the front when we've finished. We've got Bibles for you. But lift your hands to the Lord. Everybody praying, every saint of God praying. Lord, we just pray for those who are just reaching out for you. We pray you'll overshadow them right now with the power of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, I also can see, Lord, there's great pain in people's lives. Lord, people have experienced great loss. And we pray for those who have raised their hands to you, that, Lord, you'll heal them. We pray you'll restore them. But we pray today, most importantly, that you'll forgive them of their sins and give them a new beginning. We pray, Lord, that they will become born again today by the power of the Lord. And Lord, we rebuke the devil in Jesus' name, and we speak freedom and liberty over those who have raised their hands today. Pray, Lord, that they won't go back, but they'll keep moving forward and keep their eyes upon Jesus. We pray this and we declare them born again, saved and belonging to you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Could everybody just lift your hands? Lord, I just want to speak this prophetically over you. Just that verse I read earlier, and then I'm going to finish. I'll get off. I'm just trying to find it right now. Amen. Could somebody say amen? Because I praise God. It's the verse where, here it is. It's a verse where the Lord blessed Job in the second half of his life even more than in the beginning. Let's lift our hands to the Lord. I pray over this congregation right now that the next part of their life, the next half of their life, will be even more blessed than the beginning. I pray for those who are elderly in our church. Lord, while they've got breath in their bodies, I speak this scripture over them, that the next half of their life will be even more than the beginning. That they will go deeper with you. We speak this word prophetically over our entire church, that the second half of our lives will be even more blessed than the beginning, in Jesus' name. Amen. Could somebody shout amen?
Amen. Hallelujah.